Well, hello there. My, it's been a long, long time. How am I doing? Well, I guess I'm doing fine. It's been so long now, and it seems like it was only yesterday. Ain't it funny how time slips away? And how's your new love? I hope that he's doing fine. I heard you told him you're gonna love him till the end of time. Now that's the same thing that you told me, and it seems like just the other day. Ain't it funny how time slips away? Guess I'll see you around. And I don't know when, though, gonna be back here in this town. But I remember what I told you. In time, you're gonna pay. Ain't it surprising how time slips away? You just remember
and I will love you every step of the way. So only love me and love me only, and we will never with loneliness. For just as sure as every April turns to May, so will I love you every step of the way. And we will never walk with loneliness. For just as sure as every April turns to May, so will I love you every step on.
Folks, there you go, the unmistakable voice of Mr. Dickie Rock and Every Step of the Way. And just before that, we had Colin Wilkinson and Funny How Time Slips Away. And then we kicked it off there with Clannad and a tune called Eleanor Plunkett. Anyway, folks, welcome to Keologus Crack here. We're going to do it all over again here now for another 2.5 hours. And on the line is me sidekick, me Sligo sidekick. Good morning, Kenny. How are you doing, pal?
I'm good. How's it going, Scout?
It's going good, my friend. It's going good, my friend. And I guess I didn't know if you were aware or not, but I played that little Dickie Rock tune there for Kitty and Tom Freely, who are celebrating their 50th anniversary. I have another tune lined up for them as well, so I want to make sure that they don't sweat it too much. There's a few things here that might get them up out of the chair there over at the... over at South Fork up in Richmond Hill. So a big congratulations to them. Can you imagine, Ken, can you imagine 50 years with Tom Freely?
That's deserving of some kind of special medal, I'd say, all right.
I'd say...
Plenty of Kitty.
Yeah, there's a special place in heaven, I think. Yeah, I mean, I think she'd probably be canonized for that now. Might not happen in the next couple of years, but you should get something for it for sure.
I wonder, was he doing a bit of slow dancing there now to that tune?
I'd say something was happening anyway. Anyway, very good. Listen, it's hard to believe, Ken, it's the last show of September. It's incredible. I think it is anyway, isn't it?
You're right.
Yeah.
But the September mark, yeah, that'd mark the end of it now for us. I don't know where the time has gone at all. It's hard to believe we're into it. Coming into October here.
Yeah, it's incredible. Funny how time slips away, I suppose, right?
It is indeed.
But we have a couple of wonderful guests on. We're honoured, Ken, to have the Mayor of Burnaby, BC, a man from Maharafelt in County Derry. Michael Hurley is going to join us to talk a little bit about his emergence into that role, but also a recent award that he was given, a fairly prestigious award as well. And look forward to chatting to. Always good to chat to the Irish in this country who have done some wonderful things. And But looking at his profile, it should be a very interesting conversation we have with him. And also wanted to thank Maureen O'Leary for connecting us with Saskia and Stefan Hannigan, who are going to be joining us here at the bottom of the hour. And we'll have a couple of their tunes lined up as well. In fact, I want to play one of them just after you and I have a bit of banter here, called Seamus's Moorchild. I couldn't help but notice, though, that they have a song on their most recent CD, and it's called Ken and Charlie's Mittens. What's going on with that?
Well, myself and Charlie there, during the lockdown, we took up the knitting, and I think they wrote a song about it that... you know, we created these pair of mittens, and it's about, you know, joining the world together and all being one, you know.
Yeah, you're winging it now. You're winging it. All right, good stuff.
Yeah, well, no, that's great. These are two very accomplished artists, and yeah, can't wait to have a chat with them. They've been involved in television shows and, of course, theatre. So this should be a very interesting chat with these two artists.
Brilliant. Well, how was your week, pal?
Kind of much the same, Mark, you know. Bit of work, bit of COVID, you know, all just kinda hanging in there and keeping the head down, you know. Great weather this past week, so an opportunity to play a little bit of that game we call golf. And but all good, yeah. And yourself?
Yeah, same again. It is a little bit concerning to see our numbers rise. Of course, they're rising globally. We're seeing several parts of the world make decisions that are very familiar to us, because many of them did the same thing about 3 or 4 months ago. You know, you look at countries like France, and then you look at the UK, and then you look at Spain. Things are regressing there in a significant way. So, and slightly regressing here with some announcements that the pubs have to close an hour earlier. They have to make last call an hour earlier. Yeah, so it's all coincidental, I suppose, with the return to school and university, etc. So hopefully we can stave this thing off. We did all the right things, Ken, a little while ago. So hopefully we can get back to what we were doing right to keep this thing at bay. So. Yeah.
Not to mention in Ireland, you know, there's some serious stuff. Dublin in lockdown, Donegal in lockdown as well.
Yeah,
the numbers there are really high. Like they're far worse than ourselves here, even just in Ontario, the Irish numbers, and in the north of Ireland, it's one of the worst altogether. So there's already talks about crossing into either side of the border as well. So it's really difficult times right now.
Yeah. Good stuff. Well, bit of sports going on. I was watching a little bit of ball this morning. Lots of drama in the first game of the Saturday, but Man United scored in the, I want to call it the 98th minute, because the game was actually over when they were awarded a penalty. So final whistle went, and sure enough, VAR to the rescue here. Man United stuck a penalty away. 3-2. I don't think they deserved that one, but they got away with it. And your boys have a big game on tomorrow?
Monday, I believe, Mark.
Oh, it's Monday?
Against Arsenal, yeah.
Oh, yeah, you'll have to have a little pinty on that one.
We will indeed, yeah. And, you know, speaking of soccer, I think we have to give a shout-out here to Dundalk.
Absolutely.
Back home in Ireland, they're 90 minutes away from making the Europa group stages, and a nice little prize, a little carrot for them if they can get through the next game. €3 million would be well accepted there in the ranks of Dundalk if they make it through. So fair play to them. It went down to penalties, and they got through. So next game's a big one for them. Very similar, I think, to your own Spurs lads, right? Are they in the group stages yet?
Not yet, no. One more game now. Yeah, they had to play 3 games to get in there, so it's quite the ordeal. So
it is, isn't it? Yeah, strange, all right. Little League of Ireland result last night. Bowes beat Derry 2-1 in the game last night there. Went right down to the wire there for Bowes scoring 2 goals, a bit like United. They scored the two goals in the 93rd and 94th minute there. So they left it late, but accomplished the job. Later today, Sligo Rovers go down to Waterford there and take them on. And Waterford will be looking for a bounce back. They were hammered on Monday by Shamrock Rovers 6-1. Mm-hmm. So Sligo will have to have the tails up for that one. And also today, St. Patrick's Athletic and Shelburne play at 2:30 time. And then tomorrow, Finn Harps and Cork City go at it. And a big game, Dundalk and Shamrock Rovers at 2:30 tomorrow.
Brilliant. And a bit of golf, of course. The Irish Open is on at the moment, Ken, and it's being played up at a place called Galgorm Castle up in Ballymena in Northern Ireland. And not such a great event for Lowry and Harrington, both missing the cut. But it's the amateur, John Sugrue, who actually had a disappointing run at the US Open. He had qualified for the US Open. He's also qualified for the Masters on the merits of an event he won last year. The amateur event that he won last year. So a big reward there. But he's actually faring quite well up in Galgorm. I think he was in the top 20 the last time I looked. I'll have a look now and see how he's faring this morning. But fair dues to him, a Cork man. I think he's from Mallow in County Cork. And so it's nice to see some green, white and gold on the old leaderboard anyway, Ken.
Yeah, he was 3 over today through 10 holes when I was looking. So it has him at 2 over overall. So we'll have to keep an eye on that this morning. And Paul Dunn also missed the cut at the home tournament as well. He was +9, Harrington +6, and Lowry +7. So it wasn't certainly wasn't good. And Lowry would have been probably the highest ranked actually there. So. The other tournament in Puerto Rico has also seen two Irish lads miss the cut, Graham McDowell and also Seamus Power. They both saw Irish golf this weekend. Mm-hmm. Not very good.
I have to tell you, Ken, that I've played that golf course that they're playing down there in the Dominican Republic. It's called Corrales, and it is absolutely spectacular. And I was just looking at some of the holes, and I pulled up my camera, and many of the same photos that I was watching live. I watched a little bit of it live yesterday evening. Are photos I've taken, so just absolutely breathtaking golf holes in that tournament. So anyway, it would be an attractive enough place, I'm sure, for the golfers to decide to play at that event. But beautiful part of the world, beautiful part of the world.
Yeah, absolutely. And was it last year that Graham McDowell won that? Or I think he's won it in the past.
He did, yeah. He won that event. I'm not sure. I believe it was last year, actually. It coincided with another major event that he didn't qualify for. So it was kind of one of those secondary tournaments that was on while there was a World Golf Championship event going on. So, and it certainly catapulted him up the rankings significantly when he won there. But that's absolutely right. He did win there. So disappointing to see him miss the cut now this year.
Indeed. And we should give a big shout out to Carrick and Shore man, Sam Bennett. Brilliant last
Super.
Saturday. We were kind of wondering would he retain the green jersey, and he certainly did. First time since Sean Kelly did it. It's just amazing, and the stories coming out of Ireland around him were brilliant.
Yeah, no, it's a great story, and to do it the way he did it, I believe he won the last stage, correct?
That is spot on, Mark. Yeah, brilliant. Yeah, held off those lads and won the last stage, which was just amazing.
Good stuff. And Kenny, I don't know about you. I think it might have happened in Sligo a little bit maybe a couple or 2 or 3 weeks ago. But the big communion, I just wanted to do a shout out to wee Cara, who is making her communion today down in Abbey Leaks in Laois. And so big shout out. They're off getting the photos taken now before they head off and count all their money, Kenny. That's brilliant.
Yeah, very good. Congratulations.
Yeah, and you'd still have some of that money too, right, saved up. You'd have a little bit of that still in the bank, wouldn't you?
Not since I met you, Mark. No, you've seen the taking
expensive.
It all off.
I will admit I'm an expensive friend to have. There's no doubt about it. Hey, listen, will we belt on here with a bit of music, Ken? And let's play a little bit of, we're about in about 8 minutes here, we'll hear from Stefan and Saskia. They live in a place called Baltimore, Ontario, and they've given us a heads up that they might have some dodgy Wi-Fi out there. But sure, that's all right. Listen, we're going to give it a lash anyway and see how it goes. But just in case that does happen, we've got a few different tunes lined up. I'm going to play in total here throughout the show three different tunes from them. This is the first one here, Kenny, and it's called Seamus's Moorchild. Wait till you hear this piece of music, and really look forward to chatting to them. And then we'll come back after this song, and then they'll be probably calling in very soon after that. So why don't we give this a go here? Here's Stefan and Saskia Hannigan and Seamus's Moorchild. Thank you.
When you think of Irish tradition, what comes to mind? Live music, great hospitality, and a pub atmosphere of laughter and song imported from the Emerald Isle itself. And one of Ireland's greatest imports is the Keane family, serving up the finest fare and crack this side of County Galway since 1991 at the Galway Arms. The family-owned pub has been charming patrons since, well, last century, and as a result attracts some of the GTA's greatest Irish characters. Known far and wide for its chef-designed menu and traditional Irish music, it's also Toronto's home of Gaelic games live from Ireland on the big screens. You can like them on Facebook, and you're sure to like them in person. Visit thegalwayarms.ca to view daily specials. The Galway Arms, your home away from home, and not too far from home at 838 the Queensway in Etobicoke. Call 416-251-0096. Make a date and make it for the Galway Arms.
All right, there you go. That was Stefan and Saskia Hannigan, and the second tune we played here on the show here this morning, and that one was called Paul's Holly Pantalettes. Brilliant tune there. And then before that, we played Seamus's Moorchild. And I know that there's a bit of shopping in farmers markets going on around the Baltimore, Ontario area. And Saskia might have been left solo while Stefan is out trying to find parking spots and all kinds of stuff, living the life, living the dream. Good morning, Saskia. How are you doing?
Good morning. I'm great. How are you doing?
We're brilliant. We're brilliant. This is Mark and Ken's the other fella.
Mark, I can't see you, so I've no idea.
Sure don't.
Yeah, I've been busking in the farmer's market since 9 o'clock this morning.
Wow.
You know, it's not musician-friendly hours, but it's good crack.
Super stuff. Well, thanks a lot for doing this. And Stefan will join you there in a second, I assume.
He will. He's just found a parking spot, and I'm walking towards him. We happen to have our son, Oshin, with us as well. He's come down to visit from Montreal. Oh. So you've got three of us for the price of one.
Good man, Oshin. Listen, can you tell us a little bit about Ken and myself? We're just, obviously, we're listening to some of your stuff, but we were just talking about the fact that we've been having some local artists on here for the last couple of months, and Maureen O'Leary was kind enough to pass along your details. But you're a little bit under the radar for us. Can you tell us a little bit about yourselves and about your music and just maybe sensitize our listeners a little bit to who you guys are?
I'll let Stefan speak because he's here.
Hi.
Hey, so, Stefan, how you doing, pal?
Mark.
Not so bad, Mark. Hanging in there. I just had a tooth out, so I'm a little bit weird today. well, Saskia thinks every day, but we'll not go into that. I'm from Belfast. I grew up there and then moved out to Downpatrick and learned my music from lots of people in the area. Used to go to the Feshes and used to go to the Scores and, you know, hang out there. My grandmother was a Gaelic speaker from the Northeast, one of the last Gaeltachts in Ireland. On my mother's side, her father and grandfather were Shanachie, so storytellers.
Yeah.
So that's kind of my heritage. And then I wrote this book called The Boron Book, which was like a tutor book on how to play the boron. I wanted to call it Borons for Morons, but they wouldn't let me. I brought out a book called How to Play the Low Whistle. I had a band called Shinné, which was this kind of Irish traditional group with a twist, and had like a jazz keyboard player, a tabla player, a jazz drummer, two All-Ireland champion fiddlers, and an All-Ireland champion piper. So it was like a precursor of the Afro-Celts, if you've ever heard of them.
And
I played with Afro-Celts for a while.
Yes.
Yeah, so I was a touring musician and session guy, and I've always been really interested in that, helping other people with their music, making it work for them, being the kind of the ancient dust guy. Oh, we need a new one piper thing, so I would go and do that job. And then Saskia and I met 20 years ago.
Well, longer than that, because Oshin's
22. Oh, wow, there you go. I'm being mentioned in history. Yeah,
20 years,
big
change.
Yeah, and we're my 20 years, that's what I have to remember. Right. Anyway, we made a couple of albums together, worked with lots of other projects.
When you toured with Lorena McKenna as well, who's known over here in Canada.
Yeah, and Lorena McKenna, you've probably heard this. I did a couple of albums with her. And did weird things like albums with Bjork and Depeche Mode and Gary Barlow from Take That, and you know, some other things we should move on about. But I kind of got proficient on about 40 instruments, and then did production work for different people. You know, lots of folk people in the UK. Worked a lot with folk bands in the UK when I lived there. And then,
we moved over here 13 years ago.
Yeah.
Really, 13 years.
13 years.
Yeah.
And you moved, where did you move from?
From England.
Right.
England.
We lived in the middle of England.
In Northampton.
Lovely.
In the Midlands.
And we both taught at a college there. We taught what I would call a fame school, all singing, all dancing, arts academy. And we talk music and, you know, recording and engineering. My other life is I'm a recording engineer, and I also do audio visual. I mean, I'm now doing live streams for people, you know, with multi-camera setups and things like that.
Yeah, so that's kind
so
of
that's
it.
Me.
Oh, and I play everything. I play classical. Well, I play as long as it's got a bow, violin, viola, cello, nickel, harp.
Oh, yeah.
I'll play classical music and jazz and folk and rock and blues and whatever.
Yeah, I also trained as an instrument maker in England. So I made Saskia a nickel harpa for her birthday.
Beautiful.
Everyone says what's a nickel harper. You'll have to look up nickel harper. You have to Google it.
Yeah.
There you go, in a nutshell.
That's brilliant. And you brought the family into it now as well. I've seen on your website where Oisin, who you have with you there. And that's brilliant.
And a couple of girls.
Aisha.
So this is Oisin now. My two sisters are both champion dancers and phenomenal singers there.
Maureen taught them dancing.
She did for many years.
Yeah.
And we got as Clan Hannigan.
Before all of this COVID hit us all and the lockdown happened, people have seen you in and around the Toronto area, or do you stick out that side of the country?
We travel everywhere.
We toured a couple of years ago. We were on tour. We went to Austria, Germany, Czech Republic, England, Ireland.
In Canada, most of the work that we've done as a family has been around the GTA. Yeah. You know, all throughout all the suburbs as well as the city.
We did East Coast as well. We did a couple of tours.
We do a lot of work out there, for sure.
Yeah.
Yeah. We're kind of a working musician family.
Yeah.
So one question that we've generally asked all of the folks like yourselves is, has COVID, has it inspired you to kind of, during this period of lockdown to try something different? Or has it just given you the time to really concentrate on producing some new material? What did you use the quote-unquote lockdown period to do? Did you learn other instruments, learn different music, write music? Or how would you kind of profile, would you say, what you've done?
Each one of us will tell you. We'll start with us.
I'd say all of the above.
Right.
I mean, for me, I was doing a lot of, because I live in Montreal now with my wife, and I've been there for a few years, but a lot of my contacts are in Toronto, so I'm kind of between two cities, to the point where for about 2 months there, just before lockdown, I was going and making that 6-hour journey like three or four times a week.
Wow.
So I was getting a little bit tired of the traveling. So the first kind of month of lockdown for me was just recovering from all the traveling. But after that, I really appreciated the time that I had to really put into my practice, and into my composition, which are two things that I had been not neglecting, but not being able to spend as much time as I would have liked to, with all the, with all the gigging, with all the traveling, because, as much as, and I think a lot of musicians will attest to this, like, gigging is one thing, and it's good to be doing all that playing, but practicing is a whole other game, and, even if you're doing lots of playing, it's still nice to be able to take the time.
I practiced as well. I decided after I got over the shock of not gigging 3 or 4 times a week, I decided that I needed to look at my playing and figure out what I couldn't do or what I wasn't very good at. Mm-hmm. And I focused and I made sure that I had an hour a day of practice minimum. So I set an alarm. So at 11 o'clock every day, I went to practice whether or not I wanted to. And it was amazing because I knew that if I didn't set myself that task, it would just slide away and suddenly 3 months are gone and nothing would happen.
Very easy to
So, I've got a whole new repertoire of stuff and technique and things, which is cool. And you and Stefan is amazing.
For me, I to use that horrible phrase, pivot. Lockdown didn't affect me as in, oh my God, it's lockdown. I kind of went, okay, well, I've got all this time where I'm based at home and the government is going to throw some money at me occasionally. So the first thing I did was, this is going to sound very stereotypical, but I planted a huge field of potatoes of all types. So, so if you want some potatoes, just give us a call. Anyway, so I reorganized the back garden and planted fruit trees and planted lots of vegetables, which was great. And then we've got a workshop out the back, which was used by originally a guy used to fix big trucks in. So it's pretty big. So I went back to my training as an instrument maker and started to make and repair instruments for people. So I did that. Yeah. I also mixed, recorded, and mastered two albums for two other people as well. One's a local Ontario woman called Anne DeLong, and she's written really, really amazing tunes in different styles. The second one was an amazing guitarist and guitar maker who lives at Napanee called Bob Miller. And he's a phenomenon. He would be at home with any traditional singer that you would care to mention in Canada. But he took time off to look after his son, who wasn't very well for a long period and fell off the grid. Anyway, it was the perfect opportunity to mix and master that album. So once COVID is reduced and he can tour, his album come out. So then after that, we're working on the second album for Anne DeLong. I got a lot of playing skills up. Saskia and I started to do a lot of work on our next album, recorded a few sets as well. It's going to be called, after the Brendan McGlinchey tune, Splendid Isolation. I also learned about live streaming and how live streaming works, and then became a sort of a consultant, I suppose. Anyway.
So there you go.
Brilliant.
My goodness. I tell you what, I'm starting to feel a bit guilty here now with the lack of stuff that I have to
It's okay to crack the beer open as well and watch way too many, binge watch way too many series on Netflix.
I think we're all guilty of that now.
Kamir, tell us a little bit about your work with the First Nations. You've done some project work there.
I've done a lot of work with groups out in Pekansigan through an organization called Arts Can Circle. Arts Can Circle is this organization that puts together artists, so it'd be a non-Indigenous artist and Indigenous artist, and we'd go to different places. And I built up a relationship with a place called Kansikim, and working with other organizations like Project Journey, which is an OPP initiative. We go up there regularly and teach and share skills with different people out there. And it's a beautiful community. It's a lovely place. It's a fly-in. So once the winter comes, it's ice roads and nothing. And I'm passionate about it because when we first came here, we knew nothing about anything to do with the Indigenous issues that are going through this country, and it's kind of shameful. There are so many links with our own people from 800 years ago. And those things are felt it's not even that. You can feel it in your bones that you understand what it is. And very often when I was doing presentations, I would say, how many people here, English isn't the first language? How many people have been forced off their lands? How many people, have suffered the injustice and not been able to work on your own land? And these are all things that happen to our people. And I don't want to be a walking history book, but there's that connection on that level with, Talagan, Chenga is Talagan Anam, which is a country without a language is a country without a soul, you know. And for me, it's been very important to show that people have worth and value. I also work with a lot of Indigenous communities here in Toronto, putting on theatre pieces that they've commissioned and written. And I do a lot of stuff. There's a composer called Melody McIver, and a composer called Beverly McIver. I've worked with them. Another company called John Bleese Theatre. So I'm very much in favour of sharing what they know with people here. There's people here living in this town that I'm looking at, and they've no idea and if you connect this what happened in Toronto when people came over pre-famine with Peterborough, the building of Peterborough, they needed a lot of Irish to come over. And then the second wave, in the late 1840s, in the late 1840s, where Toronto was two-thirds of people in Toronto were Gaelic speakers because of the influx, and Toronto accepted them, mm-hmm. So I think we have a lot to learn about our own history and how we can facilitate. And my whole thing is stand back and let Indigenous people tell us how we can or cannot help. Don't go forging in there. There's a lot of organisations go in there and say, hey, Indigenous people, we know how to help. Here's what we think we can do for you. And it's not about that. Mm-hmm. It's about showing up and saying, I'm here. What skills can I contribute to what's going on in your community? And then shut up and listen.
Well said. Very true indeed. You have a collection of over 800 musical instruments. How do you possibly gather that? I didn't even know there was that many musical instruments.
When we moved over from England, we had a shipping container, and we had our over 800 instruments. We know that the exact amount because I can't remember, but
we had to catalogue
every single one for
customs.
For customs. Right. And then we had three kids, and they had a suitcase and a small bag of toys each, and that was kind of all we came with.
that's incredible.
800 instruments.
Slightly loony.
Three suitcases.
And what's
it's difficult to sleep on flutes, you know.
I was going to say, what's the plan for that collection? That's museum material right there. Or
it is. And funny you should say that. But when we were in Toronto, we had access to a place to house a lot of these instruments, and it was called Musidium. So mm-hmm. It was a living musician museum, and the idea was, say you're a composer for film and you need some Duduk or nickel harpa or some weird kazoo from, anywhere in the world, you could come in and we would play the instrument and it would be royalty free and then you could have it. But a lot of the classical instruments we loan out to at no cost to local orchestras.
Youth orchestras. And
so there's bassoons here, there and everywhere. There's oboes here, there and everywhere. And once you have one or two hundred instruments, people give you other instruments. And because I repair them, I ended up with a lot more. And the second thing is that because I traveled all over the world as an instrumentalist, Jordan, Syria, Kazakhstan, Kyrgyzstan, Australia, New Zealand,
everywhere,
basically, every country in Europe. While my buddies would be chilling in the hotel, I'd be finding Abdul, who was an amazing rick player, and I'd be having lessons and learning how to play that style. And then I'd come home after 3 weeks, and I'd have this new instrument or two, and a new understanding of how it was played.
Well,
it's obviously some gift you have there. If you can just pick up an instrument and learn it. I mean, it's not everybody that can do that.
No.
I learnt from Stefan. I came up through the classical world, and if you play violin, and you might play viola as a second instrument, but it's not really acceptable. And then one day Stefan said to me, this is a million years ago, music's a language, and once you've got the language, you can play it on any accent, you know, any instrument. And it kind of changed my way of thinking. And so now, yeah, I can pick up things, but that's because that's how you do it.
This is the woman who was about 13 months pregnant, decided to take up the double bass and play it in an orchestra. She didn't preach the blooming thing. But she technically plays violin, viola, cello, and double bass.
And nickel harpa.
And so she's my very own string quartet. You know, that was another thing. You know, I had a recording studio, and because I don't, it's kind of weird, I don't really read music that well. I'm very dyslexic, so the music literally jumps off the page. And
Unfortunately, I inherited that one.
Yeah. I mean, if I could actually read, like, Saskia, you could put in music upside down and, you know, she could read it inside out. I actually find it, and people think this is weird, Saskia and I discovered this one time. There's a piece of music that she had, and we were sitting across the table, and I could actually read the music vastly better upside down and the wrong way around than I could when it was the right way around. So, because I see music in three dimensions, most people see a piece of paper in two dimensions. I see it from above and below, and left to right and right to left. And I have to take out three of those bits of information in order to read. You don't need to know this, but that's what I find it really difficult because of my, dyslexia. Mm. Anyway, so I learned to read by listening and by using my ears.
Which is the traditional way.
And I sound brilliant for 10 minutes on any instrument that I've got, but don't ask me to play for 11.
Because
I sound like heck, you know.
Well, I don't know if you're aware. You may not be listeners of the show, but I signed Ken up for vocal lessons, and there's a lady in Kerry. Ken takes online vocal lessons with her every couple of weeks, and the only thing that's missing, lads, is I need to get an instrument into his hands, and he can't read music either. If there was one instrument you could pick that maybe he might be able to get the hang of faster, so he could complement those wonderful vocal skills, which one would it be? Do you have a yoke there in the 600 amalgam?
I'd say there's two choices in my book. One is a boron, because you can accompany yourself rhythmically. The second one is like a bouzouki, because it's got four strings and you've got four big fingers.
And it's got frets which tell you where to put your fingers.
It's got frets.
Yeah, that sounds like a deal, Kenny.
I'm thinking that could be it, yeah. And of course, you know, if I do play the boron, then the nickname is really well suited too. Then,
but the thing is, you could get us an iron on the boron. Right? So
brilliant,
yes, indeed.
If you're Gaelic, for those that don't know, iron means song. You know, it would have to rhyme. But there you go. So
brilliant.
Well,
there's even a song, you should look it up, which is called the Boron Song, and it'll give you a good laugh.
Oh, God, not that
one. Yeah. definition of a boron.
You know we're going to do it now, yeah.
The definition of a boron is an untaught goat playing a taught goat. that would be perfect.
Well, I have another tune lined up here. You're very good for doing this, lads. And for some reason, since you talked about the planting the potatoes and stuff, I have this image of, I know you're at a farmer's market, and now it's all kind of coming together. You're selling the spuds there, and you've got Saskia gigging there beside you. And I'm sure that you've got the biggest crowd around your stall, if that's what's going on.
Well,
and
there's another thing you could check out. There's a guy called Lindsay Porteous. And he actually makes recorders and tin whistles out of carrots.
Oh, yeah.
Carrots and drills. So there you go. Maybe that's, I've missed me calling, you know.
Maybe.
You don't need any more talents.
There you go. Well, Stefan, Saskia, and Oisin, thanks a lot for doing this. And we really appreciate it. Keep sending your stuff over to us. We'll keep promoting it. And you know, we really appreciate you doing this. It's so wonderful to hear from you, and your story is brilliant. So well done. Thank you.
Yeah, congratulations.
Slán.
Thanks, guys.
Take care.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
Bye.
The Quinn family invite you to visit downtown Toronto's oasis of Irish hospitality at the Irish Embassy, 49 Yonge Street at Wellington, and PJ O'Brien's at 39 Colborne, just behind the King Edward Hotel. The Irish Embassy, a landmark of classic architecture, is your downtown destination for drinks, snacks, lunch, or dinner. Call 416-866-8282. And just around the corner, enjoy the local pub atmosphere of PJ O'Brien's, serving the best in pub fare and also your downtown venue for an intimate evening dinner. PJ's has live music every Friday and Saturday night. Call PJ's at 416-815-7562.
She reads the morning paper. and oh, how I wish I could be home so I could see my darling's face light up when she sees her picture in the paper and this message underneath to her from me. Happy anniversary, sweetheart, to you from me. Thanks for loving me. Another year. Consistently has been the sweetest sweetheart of the year.
Aha, there you go, Kenny. Little happy anniversary there to Tom and Kitty Freely. Tom asked me to play that song there. He sent in the request. He actually got it in 3 weeks ago, and then he reminded me last week, and he reminded me again this week about his anniversary. He's some man with the memory, like fierce man to remember the big occasions that are important to him, right? That was 1969 tune there, Kenny, Ray Price, and happy anniversary.
Oh, magic, magic. I have this vision of Tom and Kitty now just doing a little slow dance there in the kitchen.
Yeah.
Up there in the ranch, you know. And I'd say he'd have the roses were bought, I'd say, yesterday and delivered this morning.
No doubt, no doubt. He's one of the last romantics, isn't he? I mean, he makes us all look bad, I think.
Oh, definitely, yeah, yeah. Kitty is a lucky woman.
Oh, very good. Excuse me. Any sports updates, Kenny?
Well, over there now in the old Premiership, Everton are beating Crystal Palace at the moment, 2-1. And in the Irish Open, the leaders are at 7-under, and the best of the Irish, the only man left in the group there, is top 30 right now. He's through 14 holes. Young James Segrou there is plus 2. So he's a fair bit of work to do now.
Oh.
Last few holes, maybe if he got in there at even par, might make a run tomorrow, maybe. Who knows?
I have to admit, Kenny, I did not know about this golf course until I had read maybe about 6 or 7 weeks ago that it was being played at Galgarm. Have you been to it, or do you know much about it?
Never been to it, Mark. No, never even heard of it. And more than yourself, before they had announced this, I was not familiar with it at all. It's up there in Ballymena.
Yeah.
Which is, a little bit up the road from Maharafelt. Maybe His Worship will know about this course.
Oh, yeah. That's a great point. I wonder how we address this man, right?
We'll have to go with that. We'll have to go with His Worship. I'd say we have to, at least to get the ball rolling anyway.
Well, I'll let you take the lead on that one now, just in case it's not how we address him, all right?
All right, fair enough.
I'm tired of looking foolish on the show. It's time for you to pick up the slack.
Oh, yeah, sure. Come here, listen, I was sent something that I really enjoyed during the week. A listener of ours, Pat Rogan, good Sligo woman, married, of course, to the famous artist Ed O'Connor here in town. I don't know if you had ever seen this one before. I hadn't, but it was about Brendan Behan and the difference between prose and poetry. Have you ever heard that one?
I have, but it's very good. Give it an old belt there, right? That's very well worth sharing for those that haven't heard it.
But I think, I want to thank Pat for sending this over because, you know, it's always good to get an old giggle when you're during the week. And this one gave it to me this week. So it was all around the discussion about Brendan Behan, of course, obviously a writer, a great Irish writer. And he was once invited to Oxford to take part in a debate about the difference between prose and poetry. And his opponent spoke for almost 2 hours. And then Behan rose to his feet and he promised to be brief. He recited an old Dublin rhyme. He said, "There was a young fella named Rollocks who worked for Ferrier Pollocks. As he walked on the strand with a girl by the hand, the water came up to his ankles." That, declared Behan, is prose. But if the tide had been in, it would have been poetry. Oh, I love it.
Well done, pal. Well done. Do you know what? We have to figure out a way to dedicate a portion of this show to that type of stuff. Someone maybe call in with little yokes like that, little yarns, clean jokes. Like, well, that was almost a clean joke, Kenny, or almost a dirty joke. I don't know which, but
it was almost a dirty one, but I cleaned it up right at the end.
You sure did. Ah, very good. Well, listen, bottom of the hour. It's 11:15 here. Bottom of the hour. Looking forward to chatting to Michael Hurley, the mayor of Burnaby, British Columbia. I suppose I take it for granted as well, Ken, that you and I have travelled to that part of the world quite a bit. My company's office is actually in Burnaby, BC, and Burnaby would be to Vancouver as I would say Mississauga would be to Toronto. So just to give some scope to the magnitude of being the mayor of Burnaby, it is the most significant suburb of the city of Vancouver. You never actually leave Vancouver. But Burnaby, also a hotbed for sports in that city. Soccer is a very popular sport in the city of Burnaby. And I believe that Michael himself was a bit of a soccer player. He was a GAA player. I think he worked in the fire department out there. So it's a very interesting story. But for those of you who have never traveled to Vancouver and are wondering, okay, is Burnaby just some quote-unquote Mickey Mouse suburb? It is not. It is a very, very economically powerful, suburb. So it's no mean feat what he's accomplished. And also was recently awarded the Top 25 Immigrant Award, which is an award that sponsored by RBC. And I looked at the profile of that. I hadn't heard much about it, but it is quite an accomplishment. So I look forward to chatting to him, Ken.
Oh, yes, indeed. Yeah, it'd be great. Great story altogether. Definitely looking forward to it. And as you say, we've been out that way many a time. And it's a great accomplishment.
Good stuff. So I think what I'll do here is I'm going to belt away with, I don't know, have we ever played Aisling Rafferty on the show, Ken? I know you're a fierce man for digging up local artists, or up-and-coming Irish artists. Is Aisling Rafferty, was she ever on your radar?
No. This will be very interesting to hear this, Mark.
Yeah, no, she is from a place called Knockshagowna in Tipperary. And
Very good.
Anyway, very, very talented young lady. And she has a great old rendition of God's Plan. which is a great. I'm not sure what God has planned for you. I can't imagine it would be anything good. But I'm sure there's a plan there. It would be great to be able to get a draft of what your plan is. Like when you're, I'm not sure I'd want to know when I'm departing the earth, but everything else I'd love to know is what he's got planned for me after that, you know?
Yeah, you think maybe, a bit like you just said about radar. I don't even know if I'm on his radar, man.
you may not be, yeah. But he could, you'd never know. He could have me planned for like a four ball in 2052 with Seve Ballesteros or something like that. I mean, can you imagine if the plans were like that? It'd be super, wouldn't it?
It would indeed, yeah, absolutely.
All right, why don't we play Aisling Rafferty here and God's Plan, and then after that we'll have a couple more tunes, and that'll take us up to a chat with the man himself from Derry. And I also have Back Home in Derry, I have John Closer rendition of that, and so I might play that after our interview with Michael. But in the meantime, here's Aisling Rafferty.
They send from above to have and to hold together, growing old to love for the rest of our lives. It is all part of God's plan, my love. I am your one.
And you know the sun's setting fast, and just like they say, nothing good ever lasts. Go on now and kiss the goodbye. Hold on to your lover, your heart's bound to die. Go on now, say goodbye to our town, to our town. Can't you see the sun setting down on our town, our town? Good night. Up the street by the red neon lights, that's where I met my baby on a hot summer's night. She was a tender and I ordered a beer. It's back 40 years and I'm still sitting here. But I can see the sun setting fast, and just like they say, nothing good ever lasts. Go on now and kiss the goodbye. Hold on to your lover, your heart's bound to die. Go on now, say goodbye to our town, to our town. Can't you see the sun setting down on our town, our town? Good night. Here we had our babies and I got my first kiss. I walked down Main Street in the cold morning mist. And over there is where I bought my first car. It turned over once, but then it never went far. But I can see the sun setting fast, and just like they say, nothing good ever lasts. Go on now and kiss the goodbye. Hold on to your lover, your heart's bound to die. Go on now, say goodbye to our town, to our town. Can't you see the sun setting down on our town, our town? Good night. And I buried my pa. They sleep up the street by the pretty brick wall. Bring them flowers about every day. I just gotta cry when I think what they say. If they could see the sun setting fast, and just like they say, nothing good ever lasts. Go on now and kiss it goodbye. Hold on to your lover, your heart's bound to die. Go on now, say goodbye to our town, to our town. Can't you see the sun setting down on our town, our town? Good night. Sit on the porch and watch the lightning bugs fly. I can't see too good, I got a tear in my eye. Leaving tomorrow, but I don't want to go. I love you, my town, you'll always live in my soul. But I could see the sun setting fast, and just like they say, nothing good ever lasts. Go on now, I'll kiss you goodbye. I'll hold to my lover, my heart's bound to die. I'll go on now, say goodbye to my town, to my town. I can see the sun setting down on my town, my town. Good night.
Need a more flavorful lager for your next gathering? Try a Guinness Hop House 13. 100% Irish grown malted barley meets our famous Guinness yeast for a medium-bodied taste and a lingering finish. All the way from the legendary St. James Gate Brewery in Dublin. Find it straight from the keg at select pubs or in 500ml cans Canada-wide. Just look for the white can. Guinness Hop House 13. More hops, more taste, more character.
Day when you're
standing in the hall of fame,
not be champions, be truth seekers, be students, be teachers, be politicians, be preachers, yeah, yeah. Be believers, be leaders, be astronauts, be champions, standing in the hall of fame.
You can be the King Kong hanging on your chest. You can beat the world, you can win the war. You can talk to God, go bang on the wall. You can throw your hands up, you can beat the clock. You can move a mountain, you can break rocks.
Ah, there you go, the Hall of Fame. Kenny, a string of good tunes there. We had, first of all, a song called Our Town, which is by a Kilkenny man from a place called Wingap in Kilkenny, and a fellow by the name of Pat Hayes. So we'll send that one out to Kitty, good old Kilkenny woman here locally. And also we had Gloria and One Day at a Time. So Ken, the 1970s, 90 weeks that was in the Irish charts, continues to be a record that has not been broken, 90 weeks. And that's about the same number of weeks, maybe, that this man has been the mayor of Burnaby, British Columbia. We're delighted to be joined by Mayor Michael Hurley. How are you, Michael? Good morning.
I'm doing very well. Thanks for having me on. And I hope all's well back in the east there.
Very good. And, you know, what our listeners are probably aware at this stage is that we use Zoom for our calls. And some of our guests don't have the you-know-what to put the video on. But you're perfectly happy to show us your face. Do you notice the way we don't show you our face?
Well, you know, they all say most of us have a face for radio. So.
There you go. Right on cue. Well done. Well done. Well, listen, congratulations on the award. We'll talk a little bit about that, Michael, but maybe you could just give us a little bit of background. We obviously have been talking about you here just on the run up to the interview. You're originally from Maharafelt in Derry. I'm actually going to be golfing later on with somebody who's from Derry. I asked him to give me a bit of a profile on Maharafelt, which he did. He said it's a strong GAA stronghold. I assume you threw the boots on over there at some stage?
Well, yes. I'm actually from a village, even a village outside of Maharafelt called Golladup. My local GAA team, Labby. And I had the good fortune of playing minor football and under-21 football for Derry. So yes, I put on the boots many times and certainly played a lot here in Vancouver too.
Well, if you were at that level, of course, did you tog out with Brawley or against Brawley at any stage, or is there a bit of an age delta there?
Well, Brawley was from the Dungiven club, so they would have been big rivals of ours. But Joe was just a very wee boy whenever he was playing minors, when I would have been playing seniors football back there.
All right, very good. And so, Michael, you emigrated to Canada. Did you go straight to Vancouver?
I did. I went straight to Vancouver and then moved shortly after up to Burnaby when I became a member of the fire department here in Burnaby. So, mm-hmm. Spent most of my 36 years here now in Burnaby. So,
wonderful. And so, tell us a little bit about the departure, leaving Ireland, And of course now, you know, very prestigious role in a thriving city in Burnaby. Tell us a little bit about the journey.
Well, it was 1983. I was playing music. I played in a lot of bands back there and a lot of groups, different types of music. And I had been to Vancouver actually in 1975 and in 1980. And I'd always had a good feeling for the place, the times I'd been out here playing music. And I came back with the band in 1983 and decided to stay at that time and continue to play around the circuit here, you know, for a few years until I got my landed immigrant status. And then I started to, you know, work construction and eventually finishing up in the fire service here in Burnaby. So that was kind of my journey. Obviously, I grew up in the 70s in very trying times in Barry and Belfast. And obviously, you know, I got worn down and the economy was bad. So, you know, finding good jobs were very limited. So I decided to make the move to this side. And this, Canada's been very good to me. And I got lucky along the way a lot of the times. It takes a little bit of luck to get some of the places you need to be. So that was kind of my journey and how I got here. And so here I am. People ask me why. And I really don't have a good answer for it. It's just things happen along your life.
Yeah, I don't think it's... Go ahead, Kent, sorry.
Oh, sorry. Yeah, Michael, I was just going to ask, you know, was this something people said, you know, go for mayor here? Or is it politics? Was it always something that had interested you?
Well, you know, I did get involved in a lot of political campaigns here since I've been here. And something that I always felt that, you know, to make a difference, you have to get involved. So I did get involved in some campaigns. I'm not one to sit back and complain and, you know, be in the cheap seats and throw rocks. That's the easy way to do things. So I decided that I needed to try and make a difference, and I feel I can make a difference. So really that's what made my final decision to run for mayor. Of course, I had a lot of support, and I had a big team with me. Nothing happens by yourself. It always takes a lot of people in your camp to make things happen. So yes, I got involved almost as soon as I got here and was involved in a lot of political campaigns prior to running for mayor.
And you toppled down a fairly long-standing mayor there, Derek Corrigan. Is he sounds Irish as well. Was there any connection to the home country?
Yes, Derek did have some, obviously a few generations ago, but I think he was tracked back to the just outside the Dublin area. So there are some Irish connections there, albeit a long time ago.
All right. And the whole COVID thing, we were just chatting a little bit offline there. How are you managing through that in Burnaby itself? And I'm sure it's preoccupying your role right now.
Well, it's definitely every decision you make now is COVID is part of those decisions. We're in a bit of a fortunate place in Burnaby in that we do have financially we're sitting in not too bad a position, so we can make some decisions that I think will carry us through this as long as it doesn't go for a long, long time. So I think in the short term, the city of Burnaby will be doing just fine. But our residents here have really pulled together to make sure we're looking after each other. And I'm very proud of the efforts of all the people in Burnaby, businesses, nonprofits, and you know, residents just coming together to look after each other. It's been heartwarming to watch that.
What the Michael, the recent award, congratulations on the immigrant award. What can you tell us about how that all came about? When did you find out that you had been, as it was, nominated and also successful, if you will? And can you tell us a little bit about the award itself?
So it's top 25 immigrants in Canada award. To be honest, I didn't know very much about the award before someone nominated me. It was one of our counselors, James Wang, mm-hmm. who nominated me for the award. And it kind of took off from there. Many of the communities, we have a large Chinese community here in Burnaby
yep.
that I had a great relationship with. They really got behind me. Of course, the Irish community and all the other communities. I have a great relationship. We in Burnaby, we're a very diverse community. We speak 120 different languages here. Mm-hmm. So, you know, there's a huge 50% of the people who live in Burnaby were not born here. So we have a huge immigrant influence in the city. So it was great to see all those communities coming together to support me. Mm-hmm. And as I said, I was actually quite surprised I was even in the running. So
yeah.
So when I found out, I was of course very humbled by it that people would put me forward, but also incredibly proud of the achievement of getting there. But as I say, any of these achievements are made by a big team, not by one person. So I have a lot of people to thank for getting me there.
There was the catalyst for you, I guess, putting your hat in the ring for the mayoral election, if you will, was driven by what you would probably have characterized as somewhat of a housing crisis in Burnaby. Is that correct?
Well, that's very correct. There's some things were happening in housing here that I didn't appreciate, that many of our long-term residents were being forced out by developments that seemed to be more directed towards, people who have great means to live in the city. And my belief is that we need people from all levels of society to really have a true community. So that's when I decided to get involved to try and make a difference, to ensure that everyone could be part of our society and not just those who could afford $1 million condos and
right
and up. So that's kind of was one of the main drivers for me. Mm-hmm. Finally taking the step to go for mayor of the city.
Would you have any interaction in your current role with the likes of John Tory here in Toronto, and of course Mayor Crombie in Mississauga? Do you collectively, as mayors, get together, get on a call, talk about some of your challenges, or do you kind of just stay in your own kind of swim lane and operate independently?
No, the mayors, we do have organizations that pull us together. There's a Federation of Canadian Municipalities. We do get together and have discussions around different topics. And I think we're a lot of us are very aligned in what we see as the needs within our cities. And yes, we do talk and we do discuss and we do have forums where we get together and discuss strategy and new ideas for cities, because, sometimes some of us do think better than others and we can learn from each other. So that's very important.
Very good. I might surprise you that here we are in the last month. You're not the first man from Maharafelt we've had on the show. We actually had, and you being a musician may know this man, Brendan Quinn was on here a little while ago. So I don't know if you know of Brendan or have crossed paths with him, but he was very entertaining. But who knew? Two in one month.
Oh, I know Brendan very well, and I actually used to play in a band with his Brendan's brother, who unfortunately has passed away now.
Ah.
So I know Brendan's family very well, and certainly I hear Brendan's doing very well back home with his projects right now. So no, Brendan's a good lad, and I'm sure he was a lot of fun when he was on too.
He was. He finished most of our sentences, so it was very good.
Well, Brendan actually lived down here in Vancouver for quite a while, North Vancouver. So
yeah.
So his family were out here, I think, for maybe 8-9 years. So he would be very well aware of this part of the world.
Yeah, he did. He spoke extensively about that, and. And eventually it was the travel that really got to him, that he found the place too big, and he's now back in a fairly remote part of Donegal there, and he's writing music and just happy out. So yeah, his wife was making a big fry for him when we were having the chat with him.
Yeah. No, I'm hearing, I still get lots of reports from my family's all back there. So
yeah.
So I get lots of reports. I have three brothers and three sisters back there. So
very good.
So I still hear most of the gossip.
Mike, I don't know if you're a golfer or a golf fan, but the Irish Open is up there at Galgorham up in Ballymena. It's probably only about a half-hour drive from Mara Felt. Are you familiar with that golf resort up there?
I am, of course. It's down in Ballymena, just outside Ballymena. I've been there many times, and it's a great resort. Of course, last year we had the Open down there in Portrush, which is a tremendous golf course. If you're feeling brave enough to play, it's it's quite a challenge though. But a beautiful golf course. But my favorite golf course in that area is actually Port Stewart, which is 3 miles away from Portrush. A beautiful little golf course.
Lovely. Go ahead, Kenny.
You're good.
I was going to say, over the years, I would say one of the higher profile Irishmen in the country, obviously associated with the Olympics, John Furlong. Did you have an opportunity to have any interaction or work with John in any capacity?
I've met John quite a few times. He's quite a very driven person, a very nice man. But I haven't seen John lately, but certainly during the Olympics, he was more high profile, but I think he's trying to keep a more low profile these days, but certainly a gentleman and always a pleasure to be around. And I have only great respect for the work that John Furlong has done.
Mm-hmm. Good.
You get back home much, Michael?
Well, I was supposed to be back in the month of August this year, but obviously that didn't work out. I try and get back every 2 years to see my family back there, and hopefully next year we'll be able to make that trip. But we never know the way things are going.
Yeah,
they'll have to have a parade, I suppose, and the red carpet will be out now when the mayor of Burnaby arrives into town, huh?
Well, you know how overhyped they do things there. I would say I'll get noticed for the first 1 minute, and then it'd be, are you buying me another pint?
Exactly.
The line they like to use for where I come from is, when are you going back, right? So, yeah.
yes. The welcome wears on very, very, very quickly. Yeah. So but they're not much into highfalutin things, as they would say.
Yeah, that's right. They keep us grounded for sure.
Yeah.
You wouldn't get away with much back there, that's for sure.
No, that's for sure. Nor should you.
Exactly right.
Well, listen, Michael, thank you so much for doing this. We really appreciate it. I don't know if you could hear just before we came on live, but I played a song called Hall of Fame. And at this stage, I would say if there was an Irish Hall of Fame for Canada, maybe that's a great idea. Maybe that's something that we should work on. You'd probably be in there on the merits of your accomplishments there. So congratulations for flying the flag. We very much appreciate you coming on to talk a little bit about yourself and your career. Any aspirations beyond mayor at this stage for a deeper jump into politics?
No, I think I'm very satisfied with where I'm at right now, and we'll keep doing the work that needs to be done, and we'll see where we go from there. But for now, being mayor of this great city is I'm very proud to be there just for now. So
super.
We'll take care of that. Anyway, thank you so much for having me on, and I'm always very, very proud to fly the Irish roots and the Irish, all our Irish traditions, and I look forward to speaking to you again maybe sometime soon.
That'd be fantastic. Well,
thanks a million, Michael. Yeah, you were great, and stay safe and healthy out there.
Thank you very much.
I'll play a song here for you, Michael. The most famous Derry song ever, I suppose. Back Home in Derry, and it's a John Close rendition. So if you're able to tune in and have a listen, enjoy it. That's for you.
I will certainly listen to that song.
Thanks, okay, Michael.
Take care.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
In 1803, we sailed out to sea, out from the sweet town of Derry. For Australia bound, if we didn't all drown, the marks of our fetters we'd carry. And our rusty iron chains we could write for our winds, our good women we left in sorrow. As a mainsail unfurled and curses we hurled on the English and thoughts of tomorrow. At the mouth of the foil, said goodbye to the soil, as down below decks we were lying. Old Doggerty screamed, woken out of a dream by a vision of old Robert dying. The sun burned cruel as they dished out the gruel. Dan O'Connor was down with the fever. 60 rebels today bound for Botany Bay, and many will reach the receiver. Them to hell as our bow fought the swell. Our ship danced like a moth in the firelight. White horses rode high as a devil passed by, taking souls to Hades by twilight. 5 weeks out to sea, we were now 43. We buried our comrades each morning. In our own slime, we were lost in the time. Endless nights without dawning. Demon's land is a hell for a man to end out his whole life in slavery. Where the climate is raw and the gun makes the law, neither wind nor rain care for bravery. 20 years have gone by, I've ended my bond, my comrade's ghost walk behind me. A rebel I came, I'm still the same. On a cold winter's night you will find me.
Those men who were brother have died. And to live in the cold chains of bondage, to bring back their rights were denied. Sweet is life, but we're crying. How mellow the wine that we're drying. How fragrant the rose that is dying. How gentle the wind, but it sighs. And flowers, and still only our rivers run free.
Love.
I'll tell you, Kenny, it's dangerous to give me the to put me in charge of the tunes, because you see what happens, right?
Oh, yeah. And don't think I didn't hear him earlier on there. You snuck him in a little while ago as well.
I did.
And then never bothered to mention it. But, you know, it was in there amongst a few other songs. And, oh, yeah.
I did notice now. I thought, you know, you did say you were going for a cup of tea. So I said, this is the time. The cat's away. I get it in. I thought you might have missed it. And there's no way you'd be playing back this show to audit it. So I thought I'd get away with it. But I didn't anyway.
Oh no, I was listening in there, and a song there you played maybe a track before sneaking in the second Joe song there, a very disco-y sound to it there, and just after taking off the disco boots and the wide pants there,
I must have
had everybody up dancing around in the kitchen there this morning.
Did, yeah, so I don't know if you remember the song or not, but that was our entry in the Eurovision in 1982. And we were expected to do an awful lot better than we did, but we only finished 11th in the Eurovision. But that was a band called the Duskies, and Here Today, Gone Tomorrow. And they expected really big things from them, but they didn't shine. But if you think they sound disco-y, you have to go into YouTube and have a look at the Duskies. They are quintessential disco. See it.
Brilliant.
So it's worth
it. I remember the Duskies all right. And that song had a feel all right to being a Eurovision entry all right, didn't it?
It did, yeah, absolutely. It was it was definitely on the right spectrum, wasn't it?
It was. Now, a little while ago there, I heard you playing your man there talking about the Hop House and the calendar of events.
Yep.
I just wanted to mention a few that maybe our listeners can participate in. First of all, Solace House has got the Go the Distance. So make sure you go to Solace House website and sign your team up there. It's all taking place on the 4th of October, 8 a.m. to 8 p.m. You clock the amount of kilometers there, and there's great prizes to be won there. And, of course, a great cause. So get in touch with Diane Flanagan there. The other thing that you should get on the web about is Cathy, of course, Cathy Murphy and ICANN there have been nominated. We had Cathy on last week talking about their nomination for the Toronto Star Readers' Choice Awards.
Mm-hmm.
And they are in there as the Irish-Canadian Immigration Centre. There's, believe it or not, two ICANNs in there, but you have to, of course, click on Irish-Canadian Immigration Centre. I know I got in there last week, Mark, and had a vote, and I hope you did as well.
I did. It's in. The vote is in.
And one other thing is the last round of the Chambers Brian Dolan Golf Society is coming up next Saturday, the 3rd of October. Hard to believe we're saying that, 3rd of October. Wow. Get in touch with Rory, and or you can get in touch with us, and we'll put you in touch with Rory if you want to participate in the last of the season there for the Golf Society.
Very good, very good. And Michael, also from the Galway Arms, wanted me to also make sure we remind listeners that you can catch all of the Premiership games going on, Ken. Of course, a couple of them are in the books already. United beat Brighton in the last minute there. That's already done. So 3-2 to Manchester United over Brighton. Everton have just beaten Crystal Palace. I think you mentioned that earlier. But if you get down to the Galway Arms at 12:30, you'll be there just in time to see the West Brom-Chelsea game. And then at 3 o'clock, right after that, will be another game, which will be the Burnley-Southampton game. Now, tomorrow morning at 7, Sheffield United take on Leeds. That might be a bit early to be getting in there. Michael might not be in time for that one. He might make it in for the Spurs-Newcastle game because there'll be a little bit of a breakfast maybe on the go, but he'll definitely be around for the Man City-Leicester game, which is probably the pick of the games tomorrow. And then West Ham and Wolves at 2 o'clock tomorrow afternoon. And then on Monday, sure, why not, drop in 12:45, Fulham versus Aston Villa. And then 3 o'clock, Ken, you might want to put a big circle in your calendar on this one for the Galway Arms. Liverpool at home to Arsenal. So I'm sure yourself and Donnelly will have a little pint going. Of course, Michael himself is a big Arsenal fan, so you can expect to get a bit of abuse if you wear the jersey in that day, Ken.
Definitely, yeah, we'll have to go in and maybe just cause stir it up a little bit in there, and we'll get on to them lads for sure.
Good man.
That's good. And of course, the Quinn family are hoping to get their establishments open in early October, and maybe we'll hear from Pat next week and have a chat with them as they prepare to get their facilities open and back to business.
Very good, very good. And you were reflecting back on some of the songs that I played there. I played John Close singing Back Home in Derry. After that is a song, Only Our Rivers Run Free. Perhaps a little bit of a controversial song sometimes, Kenny, but I happen to really like that song. Corrib Folk were the lads singing that, in case our listeners are asking. That was Only Our Rivers Run Free. And then we piled into the Duskies, Here Today, Gone Tomorrow. And, of course, the greatest singer ever, not Elvis, but Joe Dolan, She Doesn't Live Here Anymore, was on there. I'm going to tee up a little. What are we, 12:15, another 15 minutes to go here. We still have quite a few people hanging in there, listening in with bated breath to see what kind of stuff I have here to finish it out. But I'm going to play Sean Keane. I guess we can call him a friend of the show now, Ken, can't we? Sean Keane.
For sure. Yeah, definitely.
Yeah, so Sean Keane and the Murphys here. I'm going to play that one. And I'll play also a Davy and an Arthur, the Furies and Davy Arthur tune here as well. And I suppose we'll come back then to sign off, pal. Does that make sense?
That sounds like a plan.
All right. Why don't we go with Sean Keane here? Hang in.
If I need often leads my pain. If you needed me, I would come to you. I would swim the seas, walk to ease your pain.
This next song that we're going to sing is a song which is a very new song. It was written, the melody was actually written by Eddie, and the words were written by a good friend of ours, a man called Phil Coulter. And the two boys wrote the song together, just making a new album. And it's the name of the last album we did, which is an emigration album. It's called Steal Away. And it's about two kids trying to get out of a city. It could be any city, it could be Dublin, it could be New York, London, Belfast, anywhere. Just they're fed up with the violence all over the world. They're just trying to get away from it. And it's a smashing song. And Eddie's going to sing it for you. Have a listen to it. And before we do, would you welcome Eamon Campbell, because he's going to be playing, and the orchestra behind us. Give them a big hand. Come on.
Steal away, let's steal away. No reason left to stay. For me and you, let's start anew. And darling, steal away. Steal away, let's steal away. No reason left to stay. For me and you, let's start anew. And darling, steal away. Let's steal away and chase all the dream and hope they'll never find us. The weary days, the empty nights, we leave them all behind us. Steal away, let's steal away. No reason left to stay. For me and you, let's start anew. Come, darling, steal away. We leave behind the empty streets, the gloom and desolation, the rain, the cold, just growing old. God knows it's a hard old station. Steal away, let's steal away. No reason left to stay. For me and you, let's start anew. I'm dying. Our memories, a new lake, a new beginning. far we have to choose to win or lose, and it's time we started winning. Steal away, steal away, no reason left to stay. For me and you, let's start anew, and darlings, steal away. Steal away, let's steal away, no reason left to stay. For me and you, let's start.
Ah, there you go, Kenny. Just sit back and just soak that one in, huh? That's one of those songs, isn't it, that you just close your eyes and listen and it's immaculate. Super.
Indeed. Brilliant song altogether, yeah. Fair play to the man himself. He's written some great, great songs altogether, hasn't he?
100%, yeah. Great, great, great talent. And well, listen, we're going to sign off here, Ken, but you have a couple of quick things to cover.
Yeah, I just wanted to, I don't know if Sheila O'Leary is listening in here, but congratulations on doing just a lovely job. As listeners will know, there's an Irish community organization headed up, of course, by our very own Ethna Heffernan, but has got great help in putting out and sending out cards to some of our community. And Con and Kathy O'Connell have been doing a super job on that. We had photographs in from Smitty and, of course, cards also designed by the artist Ed O'Connor, who we had mentioned earlier on the program. But Con is just after sending around a lovely photograph that Sheila O'Leary sent in, and Sheila has framed the card that also, of course, went out from the government as well as the Irish community organizations here. And it looks absolutely fabulous. Well done, Sheila.
Yeah.
And as it says on the card, Niniarca cur le chéile, there's no strength without togetherness. And it's so true. And just really nice that that people will do that because of the nice gesture of the card. And of course, if anybody wants to get in touch with the with that organization, they can give Ethna a call at 416-566-4597. And there's, of course, the food vouchers as well as those cards. So nice job. And thanks a million, Con, for sending that our way to announce it.
Well done. And Ken, just a big thank you to, it's 12:25 here, before we sign off, a big thank you to Stefan and Saskia Hannigan and Oisín, their son, for joining us, and some great music that we played by them as well. So thank them for joining us on their busy day at the over at the Little Farmers Market there. And also a big shout out to Mayor Michael Hurley joining us from Burnaby, BC. Just a pleasure to talk to him. Great to see the flag flying out there. And thanks for joining me as well, Ken. You won't believe this, but I had a request for a Leash song from a fella in Sudbury by the name of Sean O'Rourke. I don't know where he found me or how he found me, but he asked me to play a Leash song by Trudy Lawler called Lovely Leash. So anyway, I'm going to do that. I know it sounds a little bit like a fake news, but I legitimately got a request to play a Leash song. It's not because I'm from there, and I hope you trust me on that one.
Oh, of course I would. Why wouldn't I?
And then I go out with one other tune after that, appropriately, Spider Simpson tune, Bye Bye, because it'll be bye bye for this week. But we'll be back here next week, 10 o'clock. Kenny, you'll probably be marshalling the tunes. I assume there'll be no Mullingar Joe tunes next week, but you never know. You might surprise us.
You never know, Mark. You'd have to tune in to find out, wouldn't you?
All right. Very good. All right, Kenny. We'll chat to you later.
All the best, Sloan. Thanks for listening, folks. All the best.
Shower. I gotta leave in half an hour. I can't be late. is our first time to see each other in 2 years, almost to the day. It's been that long since you went away. Funny, but it only seems like yesterday. You broke my heart with the note you left to say. You will never leave, 'cause I love you, and that you can't believe.